When I got that message from you that I absolutely hated it, I'm crying, I can't do this, I was relieved.
And my whole world broke apart.
This is the Beneath the Surface podcast. We are your hosts, Michelle and Julius, and we are here to help you unlock your true potential. Learn from our failures and successes and start understanding what it takes to grow a successful business around your passions.
We are a creative couple originally from different countries who are both able to build online businesses by doing what we love: photography, online marketing, and travel.
Let's dive beneath the surface, become better versions of ourselves, and find success in life. Before this episode begins, remember that there is a video version of this podcast available on YouTube. So head to our YouTube channel, Beneath the Surface Podcast, to watch the video version.
Welcome to our second podcast episode ever. We are really excited about this episode because for the next two episodes, we are going to focus on us. Because of course, when you're listening to us, you want to know a little bit more of what actually happened behind the scenes before we basically did anything, both of us. So today is Michelle's episode. So Michelle
is all about
today.
Me.
Yeah. So today is sort of Michelle's day, and I'm gonna interview Michelle. So she's in a sense my guest today, which is sort of confusing because I know everything about you.
Yeah. So let's just pretend you don't.
Exactly. That's gonna be slightly confusing for me because naturally Michelle is my girlfriend, and I know exactly what happened in her life, so she could be in the spot where she is today.
I have no idea about the questions.
Yeah, by the way, Michelle doesn't have any idea what I have prepared. It's pretty basic stuff. We're not going to go like super in depth of every single little detail, but every one of us has a story, some sort of a little story to tell of like, how did you become something? And that's what we're going to find about today. So as I said, it's going to be slightly confusing for me since I do know answers to all of these questions. It's going to be funny to see how this will play out. But I have prepared some questions for Michelle, and I will just go through them one by one. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Are you ready?
I'm ready to start.
Good. Now we start to fire. So first off, I want to go back to the very, very beginning. What happened in your life? Let's go back to like a summer job age, like 15 or even before that. Where do you come from? How is your family? So on, like just sort of the behind the scenes of like, where does Michelle come from?
So until I graduated from high school, I would say I had like a pretty basic, normal life. I was a normal girl, nothing doing out of the norm. I grew up in a very loving family as actually the only child. And I was always surrounded by like a really healthy and loving environment. And I was like the bond between me and my parents was so strong that I could never imagine doing anything like super extra, which I eventually end up doing at the age of 18, because that's when I moved to New Zealand. I really don't know how I made that decision or like why it came to my head suddenly, but after I graduated, I didn't really know what to do with my life yet. I sort of wanted to do something to figure out what I want to study later on. And that's why I wanted to take a gap year. And I had some friends that have traveled to New Zealand before. So I just thought, why shouldn't I try it? And to that point, I could have never imagined like living basically on the other side of the world. Like it's literally on the other side of the world. I don't know if there's anything that is further away. And of course, it was like really difficult for my parents, especially for my mom, because our bond was always very strong and still is. Yes. But yeah, I think my parents are nowadays used to me like traveling a lot and being away from home, although they still enjoy spending time with me.
Yeah. So just a quick, we're going to have a completely different episode, or like separate episode of like my backgrounds and stuff, but it's funny, mine and Michelle's backgrounds are completely different. It's like the polar opposites that you can think about, but in a sense we're similar that like we had a very, very normal like childhood.
Well, yeah, we had nothing really out of the
extraordinary
childhood.
Really, really healthy like standards, and that is also one of the reasons why we are able to do what we do, because there are people who have like such crazy childhoods, like with so many things completely like
wrongly. Yeah.
And we've both like been raised in a really loving family, which is
And I would consider myself being really privileged. Of course I don't come from a rich family or anything, but like just having loving parents around you and also don't have to struggle with anything.
Yeah. So what we're trying to say is that we just both come from really, really normal families, and there's nothing out of extraordinary. Neither one of our parents are entrepreneurs. There's no background to business. There's literally like nothing out of the ordinary. So like very, very normal backgrounds, and that's it. So, okay, let's move on to the next question. So what we now got is that there was nothing really happening before the age of 15. It was just growing up normally. And I guess that's how most people are.
Yeah, like of course, you don't really think about your future or like about topics like mindset.
But that's why I wanted to go all the way back there, because I think that's important to know where we come from. Because a lot of people could just have an assumption that, okay, like they come from money, they do this and that. Like there's a lot of assumptions. So I wanted to plan it in a way that it is like all the way from childhood. Of course, not in detail, but...
Yeah.
Roughly. Okay, so then we have another question, which is, what did you do before all of this, all of Instagram, before podcasting? What was sort of the very beginning stage where you started maybe going out of the norm? You mentioned New Zealand already a while, so tell a little bit more about that.
Well, I know a lot of people who do something like that, just taking a gap year after graduating, and like it's sort of a cliche that they're all saying it changed my life forever, but it's just the fact, like it changed my whole perspective and on so many topics, and it also showed me what freedom really means. And like also I found my passion for traveling and photographing there. I think if I like would have not lived in New Zealand, I still just would go on vacation once a year to Gran Canaria, whatever, do a beach holiday, nothing like
the very European extraordinary standard.
But in New Zealand I was living in a car for like weeks and just basically making food outside of the car and just enjoying life, not worrying about anything. And I never felt that ever again, I would say, because now it's sort of just like the everyday stress that is there all the time. Like you have to perform, you have to progress every single time. But in New Zealand, I was more focused on only enjoying, which also like I went there to figure out what I want to study, but I sort of forgot about that while I was there.
I feel like it's, I think subconsciously you weren't really looking for what to study there. You just wanted to sort of live life.
Yeah.
Just get those experiences. I feel like the starting point for everyone always is that you have to experience something slightly out of the norm. Do a little bit something crazy, because, well, again, I don't want to go more that much into my story, but like I come from a really small town. So the contrast to living in a small town versus what I did all of a sudden, like I think everyone needs that spark in life where you start to realize that what sort of life truly is about and how you can truly feel free and have fun at the same time.
That's true.
Whatever comes after that.
That experience for me.
Yeah. So whatever comes after that is never going to be sort of the same freedom as you felt in that moment, because when you feel it for the very first time, I personally believe that that's when you feel the strongest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said photography and traveling, sort of your interest towards photography and travel grew because of New Zealand. Was there something in particular that sort of sparked that interest into the photography side? I personally remember that you did have some sort of a camera there, but it wasn't really that you were photographing there. It was more just casual taking images from memories and stuff. I've seen the images.
Don't say anything.
They're not the best, I would say, but
well I had a camera back then, but it wasn't like a good one, and I had no idea what I was doing. I was just taking images of like landscapes and memories and whatever, but I was still shooting automatic mode. I wasn't doing anything special with the camera, so I basically had no idea. But I feel like when I came back to Germany and I looked at the images, I sort of realized, damn, if I would have had like more knowledge about photography, I would have such amazing images from there, because New Zealand is such a stunning country. And we, by the way, really have to go there one day again. Yeah. But that's basically when I realized that I would love to get better at it and also get better equipment and start learning more about the process, because I don't know, just seeing stunning images from landscapes and seeing the beauty of the world is such a nice thing.
Yeah. It's funny. I feel like every single photographer, or when you're a pre-photographer, has those experiences that like, I wish I would have known more, because it doesn't really take, photography doesn't really take that much to get started with. Learning the settings, learning the cameras, it is a big learning curve, but there is that one switch when you sort of realize that, okay, this is how the camera works. This is how I can take better photos. Oh, I should shoot RAW versus JPEG, like things like this, like very, very basic stuff that you don't really know when you're first starting out. Like I personally went from my phone to shooting with a really bad camera. But with that bad camera, I was introduced to a whole new world of photography. And that's sort of where I feel like you were in New Zealand. It's like you had a camera with you, which is good.
Yeah.
Your intention to take that camera was not to photograph the beauty of the country, but it was sort of partly. But probably the main reason was more so just take photos for yourself and take photo, not in like a photography sense, if that makes any sense. Yeah, but that's interesting. Like we've had sort of similar experiences, but completely different, like sort of countries, completely different scenario, because you didn't really go to New Zealand to travel in the first place. Do you want to share more about what did you do in New Zealand? Why did you go there? Or is that something that you don't want to?
Well, I sort of already explained the reason that I just needed some time to figure out what I want to do with life. But I was working as an au pair there, so I was basically living with a family, taking care of two amazing boys, and then, of course, traveling in between. That was the whole plan. Yeah. And I was there for, I think, about 8 months in total.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. I really want to go to that country once, because, well, Michelle talks about that country a lot. It's all about New Zealand. Whenever there's like a TikTok video, whenever you see a clip from New Zealand on Instagram, it's immediately in my DM box. Like, hey, look what I found. Like, we have to go here, blah, blah, blah.
It's such a stunning country. And of course, I also have so many amazing memories that I connect to this country.
Exactly. And you want to experience it again, as you said, with better skills, with better, like, because we get that drive for traveling also partly from the photography.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
So like for us, traveling is, as much as it is fun, it's also a lot about like the photography for us.
Yeah.
So the next question is, so what did you then do after New Zealand? Did you find what do you want from life? Or what did you do after New Zealand? Naturally, this is just again confusing for me because I know the answers, but just this is how the setting now is.
Well, as I said, when I was in New Zealand, I sort of forgot about the whole purpose coming there, trying to figure out what to do with life. So when I came back, I was again at like point zero, where I didn't really know what to study. Like, I wanted to study and go to university, but I had really no idea. And I was just going through many different like scenarios and studies and what I can do with it later and what interests me. And of course, like the creative part has always been in me, but I don't know, I just had so many limiting beliefs that you can't really earn well with it, or it's too complicated or whatever, that I didn't really want to go into that direction. So I applied for social sciences, which is something completely different. And like,
contrast to what we do now is, or what you do now is like huge.
Yeah. It's, I would say like some topics in it were really interesting, but some were really dry. And but before I even started studying, I was working at a factory that some of you might know, because they do candy, Haribo, because there's like a factory where I lived at that time. And I was working there for, let me think, 5 months? Was it 5 months or something? Yeah, I was working there for 5 months and it was just like getting up at 4 a.m. in the morning and then working 8 to 9 hours straight. And I just wanted to save up some money because I spend a lot. New Zealand is an expensive country. I wanted to like earn some money back and also save more money for like future travels. And while I was waiting basically for the university to start, I worked there for quite a while. And then also while I was studying in between, I worked there too.
And this
for
is
a few months.
So would you say that was sort of in a sense your summer job, and that's where you got like the first taste of like, this is where I do not want to work in the future?
Yes.
Yeah, very much so.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it was definitely really tough work and I could never imagine there working my whole life there. There were some nice people that I got to know and everything, but it's definitely nothing that makes you happy in any kind of way. It's just to go there, get your money and yeah, pay your bills and that's it.
Exactly. So the social sciences.
What?
Yeah, what would you say was the reason why you picked that? This was just a random decision of like what a lot of people at that age choose, because at some point the edge comes. You are like, okay, I have to go somewhere, and then you just pick something that sounded the most interesting. Or was there something, some other reason why you decided to go there? Was there any idea of like maybe I could work on that industry in the future?
Well, it was sort of like quite a broad topic. Maybe yeah, that's why I picked it. So I just didn't want to specify at that point what I want to do with my life. That's one of the reasons I picked it. And I always thought like working at international relations and something like that, like just something international, could be interesting. And that's what you can do with social sciences, but it turned out very different than in the end.
Yeah. So a very sort of broad subject that you just didn't want to like sort of bring into like a niche yet. You just went in and tried to see what it is, and then you realized it's not really your thing.
Yeah.
So tell me what then happened.
Well, I sort of like I studied for
not for long, right?
Yes, for I think 1.5 years,
true.
Or
yeah,
a bit less than 1.5 years. And then sort of from one day to another, I noticed like, what the heck am I doing? Like, why am I studying it? I was just like living day by day up to this point, just passing by, studying for exams, doing the exams. And
which
just
is very normal.
Sort like of trying to enjoy the university life. And then it just suddenly hit me in the face. And I just knew so clearly that I don't want to do anything with it in the future. And I was, even if like that thought came into my head from one day to another, there was like, it wasn't naive or anything. I was like 100% certain that it's not what I want to do with my life.
Yeah. And what is funny about that is that like I personally don't feel like you would have had those ideas or that realization without the experience in New Zealand.
Probably not.
As I said just a while ago, it's like a person needs that one experience at some point of like, what do you truly like love to do? Where do you get that insane freedom feeling?
Yeah.
Like that really lovable, incredible, heartwarming feeling of like, holy, like I feel so free.
Mm.
And if a person doesn't get that, then what you currently have in life will be good enough.
Yeah.
Whether it be university, even though if you wouldn't know exactly what you want to do, it would still be okay. Like most people who are in school, they don't think in a way that like I hate this, unless they've like had an experience of something better before already.
That's why also a lot of people stay or like continue doing what they're doing, although they might not 100% like love it, but they don't really know anything better or anything different.
Exactly, they don't know any better. That, and it's not necessarily bad. It's just like some people have that experience preschool, and some people might get it after school, and some people never get it.
Yeah.
It just, it's very like circumstantial, or if that's even a word, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, let's move forward. So New Zealand, school, And then interest started for photography and so on. By the way, what age were you at this point when you were quitting university? This is a few years ago. So 20.
Wait, this is, when did we meet? 2019.
Yeah, we met in 2019.
Then end of 2018. I've been 21 years.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah, I was 21.
we met with Michelle not that many months after you quit university. Like, there wasn't like...
Yeah, like a lot. Two months later.
Exactly, yeah.
You appeared at the perfect time.
So, the next question I have here is that... So after New Zealand, you went to university. You studied it for 1.5 years. And then what did you after you quit university? Where were you headed? Tell me a little bit about maybe some traveling you did while you were still in university. Because I also want you to tell like one crazy, crazy travel experience, which I've heard already. And it's, I'll just tell you that it's the Indonesia story I want you to tell. About the train and stuff.
Oh yeah. So I was I really wanted to go to Indonesia. Before
you say this, so this is now while you're still in university, yeah, right?
It was in September 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah, long time ago. But I really wanted to go somewhere and I didn't really have anyone like with the same interest because like I travel quite different than a lot of people do. Like a lot of people just like to stay in hotels and enjoy their stay there and everything, and I just want to go see like millions of places. And
we're the exact same with that.
Yeah luckily, but back then I didn't know you, so I was trying to find a person that would do it with me, and there was a platform, I don't really know which one it was, like something like with Road Trip Buddy or Join My
Something where
trip,
you can find like a travel buddy or someone to travel with, meet new people, blah, blah, blah.
Which is like, now thing. That I think about it, I think it's really crazy that I did that because...
It's very
like,
open-minded of you.
And I found a girl that is also from Germany and she was in Australia at this point and she was also planning to go to Indonesia. Her name was Antonia and we haven't really like... met because she was in Australia, I was in Germany. We haven't like had the chance to meet up before our trip. So we first met in Indonesia and we decided to travel through the country together for like a month. And it was like such a cool experience because it was, I think, the first or the second, like, or like the first big trip after New Zealand. And Antonia and me, we got along so well. Like she's still up to this day a really, really good friend of mine and like a really good road trip buddy. But it was such a nice experience to get to know a new culture. And there I sort of realized more and more why I love traveling and why I love photography. And I also started like taking more images. At this point, I also knew a bit more about my camera already because I got a new one. I was just like experimenting, practicing there. I was still not really good.
And I have seen those photos as well. And let me tell you, they're still not that good. But this is the beginning phase. Everyone has them.
Yeah, of course.
We can look through any person's first images and it's pure poop.
I was just experimenting, but... Yeah, it was really nice. We got to know a lot of people there just along the way. And it was just so much fun being so open-minded and, I don't know, just enjoying life again. That's about it.
Yeah. Now tell me then about or tell our audience what then happened while they were in Indonesia.
Oh, that's what you mean.
You forgot this story.
Yeah, that was basically my worst... I would say worst travel experience.
I would say
experience.
It's pretty extreme. I don't think a lot of people have experienced something like that. And it's lucky that you're even alive.
Yeah.
But.
It was actually crazy because the time I was there, I was flying from... You probably don't know the places, but I was flying from Jakarta to another island.
I naturally know.
Huh?
Of course,
yeah,
I know.
You do. And like a few days before, I think, or a few days after, there was a plane crash on basically the same, how do you call it?
Airport.
No, not same airport, but the same island, like, destination thing, or whatever.
Yeah.
So this was like really shocking, and then like luckily it didn't, nothing happened to us. But then when we were in Jakarta or in Yogyakarta and we wanted to go somewhere with a train, we were sitting in the train. Unfortunately, Antonia and me, we were in, sitting together. We had different spots. She was sitting on the left side. I was sitting on the right side. And then suddenly we like heard and also felt like a huge crash. And I just saw like a huge, like really like multiple meters high and wide flame next
like
to Antonia's.
Like an explosion sort of.
Yeah, like next to Antonia's window. And you can like really feel the heat. And I was so scared. I had no idea what was going on. And it was like such a traumatic experience. We were in the middle of rice fields and I was like so confused what I want to do. Like I just wanted to jump out of the train, run through the rice fields and just try to find a taxi or whatever. But I didn't really have the time to think about it. And later on, we found out that the train was basically running into a gas truck that was on the tracks.
Those classic clips where you see that a truck gets stuck.
Yeah, I don't know like why that happened, but apparently the gas truck was on the tracks and it exploded, and also the driver of the gas truck died, which is like really crazy to think about something like that happened, and I still can't really realize it or comprehend it.
What I never really understood is like how close were you to the beginning of the train? Because you always said that you felt and saw the explosion, like it filled sort of the whole window. And it must have been naturally like such a big explosion and such a loud sound.
I definitely wasn't like in the front, in the very front.
So it must have been like very, very big.
Yeah, I can't really remember well, but I would say like at least 15 meters.
But the train didn't like... Inside the train, no one died.
No,
because in a train, when it runs in a high speed, like somewhere, it doesn't really.
It wasn't.
You sort of feel like
fast.
Some sort of maybe, yeah. But
so nobody got hurt in the train. Just like the front of the train was completely crashed and smashed, and we had to stay there then for hours and hours.
That's crazy. Like from all the traveling I've done, like I've never had something even near as bad as that happen. And this is sort of like you hadn't traveled a lot. Like,
this
was the only country you went to then after, or like the first country you went after New Zealand.
I was in Switzerland.
Switzerland,
yeah.
But there you did something small. Oh, I'm going to tell one funny story at this point, because when you were in Indonesia, Michelle went to Indonesia after I was in Indonesia. And I remember Michelle sending me a message or asking.
So Michelle
sort of was aware of like my social media existence before, and us meeting had nothing to do with that.
No.
And this is completely different story. We can share that story in a separate episode as well. But Michelle sent me a DM, and her only concern before going to Indonesia was, are there dangerous snakes in Indonesia? That was the only question. I remember that DM up to this day because...
Yeah, up to this day, he's still making fun of me because of that.
Yes, because
he's making me feel embarrassed.
Yeah, but it was funny. Maybe some of the listeners remember when I was in Indonesia, or like when I was... This was very early in my career, in 2018 as well. And I started myself in 2017 with everything. So after a year from when I started, I went to Bali and then traveled to Indonesia and met friends and so on. But more about that again in my interviewing episode, where you're going to interview me next time. But yeah, I remember that DM like so vividly. And we started talking a little bit at the time already,
not really that much.
More so than in the beginning of 2019. Yeah. But there was some DMs like... back and forth, but it was more so just asking questions or being scared of snakes and stuff like that. Okay, but yeah, I didn't see
a snake, by the way. We shouldn't scare you too much. Like the good experience about travel definitely overweighs bad experiences.
Yeah, what you experienced like doesn't really happen to almost anyone. This is like one in a million story sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is something that happens very rarely.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. Then next, when you had a travel experience in Bali and then you came back home, what did you do then? Because at the time you were still in university, but after you quit university, then what happened?
Probably everyone like who has experienced something like that knows sort of the lost feeling of
I
like,
can imagine.
What do I do now? Like, why was I wrong? Especially I was so annoyed just because I didn't realize it for almost 1.5 years. Like, I just regretted it so much that I threw 1.5 years of my life away. Although I can't really say that because it sort of still like made me realize things and made me the person I am today.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think you should think of us as throwing time away. I know what you mean, but at the same time, it's not really applying for university. Is like the most normal thing to do in the world.
Yeah.
And you do it because that's just how it's sort of, okay, maybe we can say that it's starting the society to go to university immediately after high school, blah, blah, blah. But at that age, you sort of are able to do your own decisions already. And for you, it wasn't a negative decision. It wasn't really something that you knew that would be bad. Like you didn't
That's sort of why I am annoyed, because I thought I should have realized earlier, but...
Well, how can you? Like, there's no way.
Yeah. Well, but to come back to your question, of course, I felt like really lost. I had no idea what I'm going to do with my life, because there was such a, like, setback, if that's the right word. So I was thinking, like, okay, I want to have a secure job in the future. I want to... of course, earn well and get by well. And I still want to do something creative in some sort of way. And then I, for some reason, came up with media. What was it? Media technology or something like that?
Media production, something like that.
No, it was like something really technical.
But like, what did you come up with? Where did you find? And just explain a bit more in depth.
Yeah, true. You don't know yet.
Well, I'm just trying to make the conversation more, you know, for the audience.
I was doing research because of that topic, because it sort of like is well paid and has some sort of way to do with media.
So it was
media.
Essentially just you found like a day job opportunity, if that makes sense, or like an area where you could work maybe in the future.
No, I was like searching for that like topic in university.
Oh, okay.
And then I was doing some research and I found someone who studied that exact thing and now works as a video producer. And then I thought, well, why am I not just ask him if I can do an internship with him? And he lived in Hamburg at that point and he had sold trading business. And then I moved to Hamburg for 3 months. And worked there. And that's basically when I got introduced into the whole business world and working for yourself world. And well, he tried to teach me a lot of things that he sort of had in university too. But to be honest, I wasn't interested in any of those because it was a lot of physics. It was a lot of math and everything. And like in some sort of way, math was interesting in school for me, but I didn't want to do anything with it like in the future. And I realized that pretty quickly. But on the other side, I really, really loved the like independent working from everywhere part, business part, working for yourself, like getting to know more inspirational people who do something similar and everything.
Yeah. So in a sense, it's interesting because you took these tiny steps along the way towards realizing more so what you want to do. And this didn't happen. We're talking about years from university. This was 1.5 years in university. Before that, you were in New Zealand.
Mm.
So we're already talking about like 2.5 years or like a bit over 2 years of just time. And then after that, like a bit of traveling again. And then you went to Hamburg. So there's years, almost, I would say 3 years, right? Almost 3 years.
Yeah.
From New Zealand to actually do, and you did that step. You made that step of researching something more after university, even though you were completely lost. your brain went, okay, I can't like just stop doing something. Like I have to do something.
Yeah. So and I absolutely loved my time in Hamburg. It showed me like such a different type of life.
Yeah. And I feel like this also requires some sort of like actually quite a lot of courage from a person to contact someone randomly and hey, could I do an internship with you? Like this is not really something that a lot of people consider, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
Like if I think about it, I feel like a lot of people don't really have a second option, so they stay in university even if they hate it.
Mm.
But you decided to go against that wave and you said, "Okay, I absolutely hate what I'm doing. I'll quit university and figure out something else." And slowly, step by step, you figured out more and more what you then actually want to do.
It definitely took a long while and like a lot of mistakes along the way.
Yeah, this is like very different from what a lot of people do. And I think that is like you personally made that step to get closer to what you then basically now are doing.
Hmm.
And then like a lot of things happened. So the next thing that happened is that we met randomly.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go too much in depth like how did we actually meet?
No. What? Yeah.
I can go a little bit. Like I can tell like just slightly how did we meet, why did we meet and so on. But we're going to do a completely like different episode about us and like what we are doing together, this podcast, everything.
Meeting you was such an important thing in my life too. Like it gave me definitely a new perspective on things as well.
I'm not taking any credit. I
know, he never does.
There's like, Michelle has done everything by herself to an extent. Of course, I've been here and like helping you along the way as much as I can. But I remember thinking so strongly that I am not in the position to tell you anything. I'm not in the position to tell you to do social media. I never pressured you into anything.
You didn't even share your opinion about it.
Nothing. Yeah. I thought if, like, the way how we got to know each other, short version, is that I was doing a workshop in Amsterdam, or close to Amsterdam, with my ex-mentor Bob, and at the time we were already talking a little bit, but very little bit. It was like super spontaneous because we were
talking a lot at that point.
Yeah,
we were messaging a lot.
Oh, true, because that's already in yeah. Okay, so at that point, sorry, I got confused. She knows better. So at that point we were talking a lot already. We had been talking for a few months and I don't really remember what like sort of sparked us talking so much. I think I just felt super different talking to you, and I felt like excited to talk with you and so on. More about that at some point, but long story short, I was being super spontaneous. I was in a point of my life that I sort of wanted to meet new people. I was like feeling my freedom for the first time. Like I was feeling my freedom for the first time in like a really strong way. Like I was feeling my freedom for the first time in like really strong way. So I decided, okay, instead of going straight back from Finland to from Netherlands straight back to Finland, I'm gonna come for one day and say hi to you. Just random. This is very random.
Pretty crazy.
So yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what I was thinking at the time, but I'm really glad that I flew to Germany and came to see you, because that opened like a whole new chapter in both of our lives.
Changed our lives.
Yeah, like in so many different ways. But I remember thinking that, like, I noticed immediately that you're very invested into the photography community. Mm. You knew all the like big photographers, and you were already like sort of into Instagram. You didn't have any followers. You hadn't really started Instagram in that
big way. I wasn't doing anything else and just sharing images every now and then.
Exactly. And the images were like, as I've said multiple times, like very, very beginner level. This is just how it is.
For the people on YouTube, we can insert the images.
I'll put some of the images here. I can edit some of the images in. But like, we're talking about very, very beginner type of editing, beginner type of like testing.
Mm.
And And at the time, I'm gonna admit something. At the time, I thought that the images were horrible. And
ouch.
Yeah. Well.
Ouch.
Well, now you understand afterwards as well that this is how it was. And this was interesting because I saw talent in you. I did see that there is potential in you because you were so interested into the topics and you were asking very specific questions about photography, travel, and we talked all the time, constantly, and you were invested in a sense to that industry already, and that's why I also didn't feel bad about talking to you a lot about it. I shared a lot of insights with you and so on, but I don't think I would have ever shared those insights if you wouldn't have shown interest naturally.
Yeah, of course.
But of course, your interest towards photography, your interest towards travel, everything, was immediately sort of a thing that matched us in a sense.
Yeah.
Same interest.
Yeah, sharing the same
passion. We came along really well.
So valuable.
Yeah. We came along really well straight from the beginning.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said, more about our story and in depth at some point. But now we're at the point where there's been 3 years of you trying to figure out your life out. What do you want to do? You went to Hamburg. And you sort of got an idea, as you said, that, hey, I want to work for myself. But after Hamburg, didn't happen straight away.
No, it didn't.
What happened then?
Well, first we traveled, but I think that's another whole different story.
We did a whole 10,000 kilometer road trip together, which was probably the biggest turning point in your whole life and in my life as well.
Yeah.
But we're going to have another episode about all of that.
Yeah. So basically in Hamburg, in Hamburg, I realized that I really, really enjoy basically the entrepreneur lifestyle, just working for yourself, getting to know more inspiring people. It was just so refreshing, to meet people who talk with you about those inspirational topics, about mindset, about ideas they have in mind and everything. And, that's when I realized that I want to become my own boss one day, but I didn't really know how, because I still didn't want to take the step into photography or into all the creative industry and everything. So that's why I started studying again about what do I want to study in university. I did a lot of research and I found the topic business psychology. So and it was in the middle of nowhere, and I applied and I got accepted. And back then, I was really interested in the topic, and business psychology is up to this day, it's still interesting to me. But I had sort of a weird feeling. Do you remember that?
I remember completely. By the way, we have to take a break. Our cameras are not recording, yours neither. So yeah, sorry about that. But we were talking about Michelle going to study business psychology in the middle of nowhere, and at this point I remember still thinking that
Julius knew.
He
didn't tell me. I mean,
the thing is, I knew since the very moment we met that you are not a person who will study. You had stopped university already once. Everything you talked about was not school mindset. It was not you. You weren't at that point in your life anymore where you would just go to a new university and be fine with it. So I wouldn't say that I knew that you're not really a school person at all. But what I did know is that subconsciously, that if you apply to a new university, it's not gonna go for a long time. And I didn't tell you that because, as I said earlier in this episode, it was not my my place to tell you anything that you should do. The way how I thought about it is Michelle does Michelle, and I stay out of it because she has to figure out.
I mean, that's a good way of thinking, actually.
I think it's a healthy way of thinking. Yeah. If I would have interfered it somehow, I would have felt that I pushed you to do something, which is not what I wanted to do at any point. At this point, we were already a bit more serious about our relationship as well.
Yeah.
I was spending some more time here in Germany. We actually also stayed a lot in that place in the middle of nowhere where we recently moved away from. Yeah. So tell more about what then happened when you applied for the university. I remember this day like yesterday. Well, it hasn't been that long, but still I remember this since yesterday, and I remember thinking that the outcome won't be good.
So I feel like deep down, I sort of knew that it's the wrong decision. I just didn't listen to my guts at this point. That was like a huge mistake I did, and also a huge learning to always listen to your guts. I was just sort of ignoring them at that point, just because I thought studying is sort of the only way to get security in life, to...
That very old-fashioned type of thinking.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, like in certain topics you have to study. There's no other way around. But what I sort of wanted to do in the future didn't really require going to university. So just to make that clear. But so I moved into the middle of nowhere. Like it was literally in the middle of nowhere. Like
we're talking
around.
About cow poop smell. We're talking about farms. We're talking about only fields. It was beautiful. But in the middle of nowhere, and as a non-German speaking person, super challenging to do anything.
That day happened. University started the first day of university, and I think the weekend before I had to go there already, and I was like I had to drive from my hometown to the university, which was like 1.5 hours of driving, and I was feeling so awkward. Like I was trying, like, finding an excuse why I shouldn't go. Like, I just felt really, really uncomfortable. But then I went and I was just like, well, okay. So they were greeting all the students there and everything. And I think the day would have even continued. But I thought, oh, it's not necessary. I'm going to go home. I, like, don't really enjoy it that much. And then a couple of days later, basically university started, and the first lecture was something, I think it was
math related, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to point out again that in school I liked math, so it's not about me being like, I don't know, lazy or whatever, but...
I have to interrupt. I'm sorry that I interrupt, but like, this has nothing to do with you not liking school. It has nothing to do with you liking school. It has more so to do that you figured out that you have another path to follow.
So I was sitting in that lecture, and like the only thing they were talking about is like, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, and
return
like,
this exam, that exam.
Yeah. And in this moment I thought, like, why would I do that? For who? Is it like for me? Is it like actually for me? Will that like serve me any purpose to like do so much work in order to get a degree that I like only
need
10% of, maybe? Yeah. Like so many friends of me are telling me that like maybe they can use 10% of what they learned in university. And I was sitting in that lecture, and well, I can't really tell because I've never experienced it before, but I was panicking so much. I was shivering. I was like close to tears. I think I even started like slightly crying. While I was sitting in the university, I was like really cold, and I just didn't know like what was happening at that point.
I think you were just hit in the face, sort of.
I was so hit in the face because before I started, as I said, I had like a not so good feeling, but I like really wished that this would be it. This would be sort of the end. I would like it, I would study it, and that's it. Like I would sort of, I don't know, have silence for 3 years. I just do my thing for 3 years, and then I can sort of continue struggling and figuring out what to do with
exactly.
my life. So I would basically just pause this struggle for a while. But I was really hit in the face at this time. And then I basically, after 10 minutes sitting in there, ran out. I was crying. I was driving home. I was like feeling so lost.
I remember receiving some very sad messages. And as sad as it was, I was relieved. When I got that message from you that I absolutely hated it, I'm crying, I can't do this, I was relieved.
And my whole world broke apart.
Yeah.
Sort of.
And as bad as it sounds, there is a good ending to this, as you can probably see now. We're doing a lot of things, and you've sort of figured out what it is that you want to do, which is the most important thing.
Yeah.
As a person who's young, only thing that sort of matters in that early age is to find something you love doing, become good at it, and just figure out what it is that you want to do with your life. Probably the hardest question of all. And you figure that question out after three, four years of actively trying. Not really, I would say like completely actively trying, but there were many steps along the way that brought you that decision that, okay, this is it. I'm done.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to do something else. And what happens after this is very interesting because this is where you hit rock bottom.
Yes.
This is where you hit the lowest of the low and slowly come back up. And this is where I maybe take a little bit of credit. This is the only point where I come into the picture.
Well, but first, after I made the decision, I still made a bunch of mistakes. Like,
yes,
desperately trying to figure out a way to make
money. But this is what I'm talking about. It's like the point where sort of I come into the picture for the first time when it comes to what we are doing now is being there for you when you decided to quit university.
It was very, very helpful. Yeah. And also,
and it's not because I'm on the industry. It's because you had a person who you can open up to who understands you.
And yeah, and also because it's just the fact, like you sort of showed me possibilities that social media and the online world can offer to you. And that also sort of made me feel a bit better about the fact of quitting and just trying to go a different path, because there is a different path if you want to, and if you put all your heart and your hard work into it, and if you're passionate enough, you can make it.
And this is, when you quit university, we had already done our trip to Norway.
Yeah.
And this was a crazy trip, and for the first time you got some insane like photos, some really good photos. This was when we were we briefly said that we went on a 10,000 kilometer road trip. This 10,000 kilometer road trip was full of photography. Every single day on new locations, you were learning more about composition, you were learning more about your camera, and you really fell in love even more with content creation at that point.
Yeah.
And that trip was sort of a turning point creatively for you, because you figured out that you absolutely love creating and you love photography so much and travel that you want to do that as much as possible. And maybe that subconsciously brought you also the decision that I'm done with school.
Yeah.
And yeah, as you said, afterwards, it wasn't all roses. I've been there every moment of the way. And as much as like I didn't say anything, I finally started saying something at the point when you made the decision that now you're done.
Yeah.
So that's when we started discussing about all kinds of different opportunities that you could do.
And at this point, I still, like, I was a complete nobody on social media, just to like clear that out. So I didn't really know, still didn't really know what to do, because I think I still had sort of the mindset that, well, there are already so many people and
100%.
The market is already way too oversaturated. I don't think I can make it, blah, blah. So I didn't really try at this point. So I was just trying to figure out how I can like sustain a lifestyle that I want to live, and how I can make money online. And there was such a wrong mindset, so that I sort of figured out pretty quickly that's definitely the wrong way to go. That won't lead into anything. That won't lead into a happy life or whatever. I won't be satisfied with my life if I have that mindset. But that mindset came from like just being so scared about the future and like.
I remember us thinking and you thinking constantly about like, how can you make money from somewhere so you can focus more on photography?
Exactly.
This was the mindset.
Yeah.
So the mindset was not how can you make money with photography or with something related to social media. It was more so how can you just make money so you can continue having fun with photography or so on.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But what happened is that there was a lot of money wasted. And a lot of time wasted into projects that you weren't passionate about.
Yeah.
And we were working together on those projects. Yeah, I remember yesterday. We were shooting product images and we tested. It's basically, well, I don't know if you want to go that much into detail, but there was like a slight idea of maybe starting drop shipping at some point. And it really didn't come to fruition at any point. It was more so just a project that...
I just sort of took it as an excuse to learn more about online marketing,
because
that's basically like the main thing about that whole concept, like just to know marketing well. And
you learned about Facebook ads, you got introduced to the world of marketing. Every single mistake you've made and every single decision you made has brought you somehow closer to where you are
exactly.
now.
Exactly. This is a
snowball effect that starts. Either it's a success or it's a complete failure. You've learned every single step of the way something from it and taken something from it for yourself. And I think that's, if there's something that everyone who's listening should take away from this episode, is that nothing is going to come to you like this.
No.
You have to actively try doing certain things. There doesn't have to be like a goal in anything yet. But if you
eventually.
Eventually, yes. But what I'm saying is that like going to New Zealand, there was no goal of like, hey, I'm going to become a photographer.
No.
There was no goal of becoming like self-employed. And these were just things along like on the way that help you to realize at some point that, hey, this is my goal.
Yeah.
But if you never do anything, if you never try something new, if you don't go through things like, hey, I'm randomly gonna apply for an internship in Hamburg. These are the type of things that if you don't grab every single opportunity along the way, you probably will never find what you want to do.
Yeah, you're right with that.
And I'm really proud of you, because I've seen the insane mental growth and recently also growth in everything else from literal zero to slowly, very gradually going upwards.
Mm. It took me also a long while to accept the mistakes that I made and also sort of embrace them, like accept them in a way that they actually helped me realize things and helped me to get further in life. Because of course, everybody always thinks immediately that mistakes are bad and others aren't making any mistakes and like others reach success way earlier, way quicker, although in reality it's the complete opposite.
Yeah. As I said, I'm like really, really proud to see where you have come. And it's super interesting. Like, I mean, you're still in the very beginning. This is like, you're still in the very beginning of your journey.
Yeah.
But you're constantly shaping the thing that you want to do. And you know it very well at this point.
Yeah.
Not necessarily 100,000,000% sure how it's going to shape moving forward 2-3 years, but you know where is your place on the industry and what you can offer and what you can do, like basically on the industry. Like, and this is the most important thing to figure out when you are already established at the point where you know what you sort of want to do. Then when you know what you sort of want to do, it's going to shape more and more along the way. For you, first it was more so photography, and now it's more maybe of the business side. And you're like constantly shaping this like thing that you want to eventually do.
Yeah.
And it's going to bring you every step of the way closer and closer and closer. Whether you're failing or whether you're succeeding, I think it's going to bring you closer.
I think in general you learn more by doing things wrong than doing things right.
So true.
Yeah.
Every single time I felt something or you felt something, we learned something from it.
Exactly.
I think there's not much else. This is a pretty good like...
Well, there's sort of still like a whole year where then...
Oh yeah, like, yes. There's like, we went now from like Michelle being 15 years old to current situation, but we didn't really talk much about what then happened within the past year. And it's been this constant on and off thing where... Like it's been super confused, and then suddenly you get a feeling like this is what I want to do, and then it's a bit off again, and it's like just shaping. As I said, it's shaping constantly.
Yeah.
And like we did some traveling in between, of course not so much recently,
but definitely in like the last year, I evolved so much as a photographer. And
the skill level that you have now with everything
artist
is crazy.
As well,
yeah,
I learned so many new skills just because I opened my mind more towards criticism as well. And I then also gave a chance to social media, and I tried like my very best to try to actually do more than just posting. I started talking stories. I started participating in like competitions. I started making use of new opportunities. And
let's talk about this a little bit as well still. I don't want to wrap up yet. Now that you bring it up, let's just go for it. So basically, I'm going to prep that. Like, we did some traveling. Michelle got some amazing content around the world. Not really in many countries, but we did a few trips.
Yeah.
You met some people in the industry, some of my friends, so on. And all of those trips, they increased your level of creativity and your photography skills a lot. And you were constantly learning and learning and learning and learning. And at the point where you were sitting on thousands, I would even argue tens of thousands of photos from like around the world, that's when you started posting on Instagram. Not before, when you had the content.
Yeah.
Because I remember a time I was always thinking, why aren't you like actually editing? Like, why aren't you like using this content that you have? But you just weren't ready yet. There was a point where you finally went through your hard drives and you opened Photoshop, and in 4 days you had like 65 images ready to be posted. And I remember like her planning her feed out, and like it looked amazing, and the images, like, where did you learn this? Yeah, like I was completely confused. I learned a lot from you
as well.
Yeah,
not taking any credit again, but...
No, not taking any credit. I mean, I always answered questions.
Just by watching you editing and like...
More so.
My interest also in editing, I improved quite quickly.
Yeah, luckily. Very quickly. Even like with that laptop that you had, I was surprised how quickly you got stuff out.
Yeah.
And this is when we started talking more about maybe the opportunities on social media together as well. Mm. We started thinking about, okay, what are the strategies that we can use to still grow on Instagram quickly in 2020? And again, a disclaimer, Michelle did all of this by herself. We talked about it together, and we came up with strategies on how she could grow. Because Instagram is very simple. We're going to have also episodes about how to grow on social media. I'm not going to go in depth with that. I feel like I say it all the time in this episode because there's so many things I sidetrack to, and then I'm like, oh, I forget. Like, we're going to have a completely separate episode about that. But yeah, like, we came up with strategies, and they are strategies that still work. Most people are just not ready to do it or don't realize
how much time it has to, like, you have to put into it.
And also,
like, it doesn't really need to be like a lot of time, but at this point you actually sort of need a strategy, because
let's just put it in a way that requires a lot of time.
Yes, but you can use your time wisely. Like, a lot of people just spend time scrolling through Instagram and getting caught
100%
in that cycle. And if you sort of have a proper strategy, it's easier to actually focus on the things that you need to get done in order to grow.
So like, all the time you spend on Instagram, of course, there's always sidetracking. Everyone, like, even when I nowadays open Instagram, it's always like I'm going to do something, answer a message or something. It's a couple of minutes of me getting really like stuck to it. But the way how you used Instagram at the time was very strategic. Is that how you say it? Something like that. Yeah. Like, there was an actual strategy behind everything.
Yeah.
And we can talk more about that in another episode. But we're now at the point where Michelle started with, I don't remember how many followers you had at the time, but it grew really quickly. And I think the best thing you did was like participate in some of those editing competitions, because that's where you truly got to show your skills.
Yeah.
That's where you truly
showed me that all the hard work paid off since. Yeah. So, I actually won.
Yeah, just tell about that. Two or three even.
Yeah, one smaller one, and then one I got the second prize, and then one from the World Shooters where I actually won.
Which is crazy.
I was lucky enough to win a Sony and like a ton of camera gear, which is absolutely insane if you think about it. And it definitely like made me feel so much better about myself, and also made me believe in myself more, because at some point you need that sign that all the hard work is worth it, and that's
just a sign that people like what you do.
Yeah.
Appreciate it for what you do. This is all, and especially in a men-dominated industry, it's like
that's true.
I love the fact that the people who were behind that competition like looked through all submissions very evenly. And that, like, I mean, either way, on photography, gender doesn't matter at all. Like there's no, but it is, it is whether we like it or not, it's a men-dominated industry. And I used to think, you know, in a way that like it doesn't really matter, like women are equal in the industry and so on. But it's not really like that. I've come to realize that it's way harder as a woman to make it on the industry just based on how the setting is. It's purely men. And
I've unfortunately also noticed that like the past months and years in real life that actually like you expect more from man than you expect from woman. You like people tend to think that women are just standing in front of the image looking, trying to look pretty, and that's
what a lot of people think. And like I know so many women who like have incredible content. For example, our friend Paris, a very good example, incredible. Very super talented.
So if you don't know her, Paris Vera.
Yeah, Paris Vera on Instagram. Go check her out. Super talented, and like she gets a lot of comments, or at least used probably still gets comments every now and then. Like, oh, like this beauty influencer, whatever, blah blah blah, something like this.
But when it's like I completely think a lot of people appreciate her nowadays, work and actually realize how much like she puts so much effort and work.
Oh, I've seen that.
Into her shots.
I've been on one trip with Paris on a few trips with Paris, and the time she puts into like one image is like 6-7 something hours, sometimes even more. Just tiny details, and it's just very, very interesting to see. But yeah, like a lot of these women who are creating incredible content are often like seen as like they're just in front of the camera.
It's just misunderstood.
Yeah. Maybe it's because they're not taking the image themselves, but who, like, if you are the main part of the image, like, you don't usually put a tripod, unless you're Paris. Paris goes and puts a tripod behind and takes the image most of the time. And, like, this is the misconception that, like, a lot of women would sort of have a photographer, personal photographer, and then the photographer edits their images. But the reality can be very different.
Mm.
And it's very different for you as well. You, of course, if you're in the image, you go like 50 meters away somewhere on a mountain. Of course, I snap the image.
Yeah, of course. If you're with me, why would I put a tripod? Exactly. And like, you enjoy it as well. Exactly. So.
Yeah. But we had some like really incredible memories already together with Michelle. We've been on some amazing trips. And now naturally because of Corona, there hasn't been many. We did a few trips. One incredible trip and surprise from Michelle when we went to Greece, but we're going to talk more about our travels in future episodes.
Yeah.
And is there anything else you want to add? I think this is a very long episode already, and unfortunately there was that break in video for like, I don't remember, probably 10, 15 minutes of just black screen, but yeah.
But I think like what we can take out of this episode is that mistakes are normal. Everybody makes mistakes. You should embrace mistakes.
And you should constantly seek for new opportunities. Grab every opportunity on the way you can, because it's going to shape your own personality. You're going to figure more things about yourself, and you're going to eventually learn what it is that you like doing when you grab more and more of those. So basically, this is, as you could hear, like a lot of the steps Michelle has taken has shaped her journey to the point where it is now, and it's nowhere near on a level that it's like I know everything that I want to do, but it's shaped to the point where it's like more confident. Like I see a completely different person now compared to a couple of years ago.
I'm still far, far away from where I want to be, and I still have so much to learn and so
same
much
for
to
me
improve,
same for everyone.
Yeah. But
you're never really ready for anything. It's always the same of like wanting to progress.
Of course, but I definitely, I'm proud of what I've achieved already.
And you should be. I'm really proud as well.
I still need to take those little moments to actually appreciate it and actually practice a bit gratitude, because I put so much pressure on my shoulder that I sometimes don't really realize how much I've achieved. And I think, oh, damn, I could have done this better and this better.
This is
and
any
others,
person ever.
And others... like came way further than everything, but in reality it's like I shouldn't compare myself to others. It's my own journey.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna end this episode to the words that, remember, every single person's journey is different. You have to figure out yourself step by step what it is that you like to do, become really good at it, what you want to do purposely, maybe for some people it's not purposely, like you might go somewhere and fall in love with photography and then you sort of get interested in blah blah blah, but you still put in the work yourself and test new things, what will shape the person you are and the skills you have, and that helps you to figure out what you want to do in the future.
Yeah.
And I don't know for how long we went on, but
I hope you at least could learn something in this episode.
I think it's really interesting. It was a bit confusing at times for me to be the interviewer here as a boyfriend, but still at the same time, it was really, really nice to talk about this. And I didn't even remember that clearly of all the times. Like, I'm really bad with times. Like, I got confused, like, of the timeline every now and then. But, yeah, that's Michelle. That's how she's gotten where she is now. And next episode is going to be about what happened in my life that I did a lot of things. Good ending.
I did a lot of things. Yeah. So thanks a lot for listening to this podcast. As I said, I hope you could learn at least something. And yeah, we will see you in the next episode.
Which is going to come out next week or this week. We'll see. Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. This is Beneath the Surface Podcast.